Welcome to the Gun Guru Podcast. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Collin alongside Dr. Macon Singletary. Dr. Singletary, how are you doing? I'm
doing great. It's summertime. Days are long. It's my favorite time of the year.
I didn't know you were a summer person. That's what I like to hear. We've got a wonderful program lined up for today, and we're going to be talking about, you know, some popular names that we tend to hear now with weight loss, like drugs like Ozempic, Mounjaro, Wegovy. We want to get into a discussion on how those can impact our oral health. So where should we start with these?
This is a great topic to go into because in my practice, I'll see fads come through, you know, oil pulling, you know, certain vitamins. And people are asking me all the time, right now, Ozempic and Trulicity and Mounjaro are medications that people are taking for other than what they're really intended for. Now, the FDA apparently has approved these drugs like Ozempic or Mounjaro for two things, you know, diabetes, pre-diabetics or diabetics. Actually, pre-diabetics, because it stimulates the pancreas to make insulin. So they're people who are pre-diabetic. I'm actually borderline pre-diabetic myself. I think when you hit a certain age, everybody gets it's either blood thinners or pre-diabetic, and whatever tastes good, you got to spit it out. If it's cardboard, you can eat it. But this day and age of everybody wants to look good, they're using it for weight loss. And in my profession, the medical history is very important. It needs and be accurate. And sometimes, and I'm guilty because I've gone into an environment where I've had an MRI done and I got a medical history I got to fill out, and I get frustrated because I'm short on time. I want to get through it, and I don't put everything down like I should put down. Well, this is the deal with something that affects the sugar level. If a person comes in and they put in the medical history, they take Ozempic, then it's my position to say, okay, why are you taking this? And the fact that they're taking it, you may assume it's for diabetes, but not necessarily. And the problem with these drugs, in fact, it's an interesting history behind how they came about, the drug itself. The way the Ozempic or these peptides work is they slow down digestion of the food in the intestines. So you don't have that sense of hunger. So that's one way it sort of prevents a person to run to the refrigerator and eat every time they feel like they're hungry. And so in doing so, it stimulates the insulin, the pancreas to make insulin. But the Gila monster itself can hibernate for a long period of time. And it turns out if you get bit by a Gila monster, it's a pretty serious bite. But whatever's in their saliva, that peptide that they have, when they go into hibernation, it slows down their metabolism. And it's the same concept. And they've used that same chemical to use for human beings. And so if a person comes in and says, you know, I'm taking Ozempic, and if they don't say why, you need to find out. Because if somebody's doing a weight loss program, and we all are getting to that last 10 pounds, and we're going to want, you know, to get rid of that last 10 pounds, and they may up the dose a little bit. Well, one of the side effects of these peptide drugs is to slow down the intestinal movement. And so you can get what we call gastroparesis, which means you're not doing your normal bowel movements. And it backs up, and either they start throwing up, which can lead to acid reflux, which could affect the enamel on your teeth. But also, they'll come in. Some people come in and say, I have bad breath. And you know, this is a chief complaint. And if you look into the medical history, the three reasons for bad breath: sinus, oral cavity, and intestinal region. And so if somebody's on Ozempic and they're up in the dose, they may be overdosing, and that's what's causing it. They call it the Ozempic burp. And so it's important from that point of view, but also it's important to know because when somebody takes the drug for diabetes, their sugar level is affected. And it's important that when a person comes in and they're diabetic, say they're taking insulin, you know, I'd much rather them be sweet than sour. You know, if they take insulin, don't eat, and they come in for an appointment, it's a flight or fight kind of thing. I mean, it's stress, and so the sugar level eventually in the blood goes down. And if they're taking Ozempic and you know, they're not necessarily, I mean, they may be pre-diabetic, and they're taking Ozempic, and they don't do it correctly. If I give an anesthetic which has epinephrine in it, the sugar level may go up, and then it'll plummet. And so it's so key that that the medical history is accurate. You know, that they are, why are they taking it? You know, three things. You know, what are you taking? It's not what drug you're taking. It's what are you taking? Vitamins can affect, you know, the thinness of the blood. You know, they may be taking, and they may not tell you they're taking aspirin. Aspirin thins the blood. It's a potent blood thinner. And some people, you know, I'll start a procedure. Are you taking aspirin? I say, yeah. Well, you didn't put it on your medical history. So what are you taking? Why are you taking it? And did you take it today? And that's key. And whether it's Ozempic or any other medication, it's key to understand. But also, the sort of you know, these fashion drugs that people are taking now because they want to lose weight. You know, if they're doing it for weight loss, you need to know that. It's not necessarily for sugar level; it's for weight loss.
You mentioned the bad breath and the lack of intestinal movement and acid reflux. Are there any other things that, you know, prolonged use of this without paying attention to that medical history can cause?
It's really a good drug if used the correct way. Being pre-diabetic, your AC1, that's where the glucose attaches to the red blood cells. And that, if you're pre-diabetic and you have a score of like 5.1 to 6, that's pre-diabetic. And that means that potentially your pancreas is not working as appropriately. And so there are issues of being pre-diabetic. If you don't have it followed correctly by a primary care doc, you know, there's systemic effects. It can affect your kidneys and capillary blood flow, all those things, even how you fight infection, because fluctuating sugar level handcuffs the immune system and it's not as effective. You don't heal as good. And so if you have a fluctuating sugar level, your inflammatory gum disease may be more active. And if your inflammatory gum disease is more active, it's going to affect your sugar level because there's stress. So you need to stay on top of it, have a primary care doctor be aware of it for you, and use the appropriate drug at the right time. I mean, diet may take care of it. As I said before, you know, my primary care doctor says, you know, avoid added sugars and exercise. And when you exercise, that's a way of getting, if you have an elevated sugar level for whatever reason, it gets into the muscle. There are things you can do to slow down the process, but stressing our body out with our diet, which has got a lot of processed material in it, you know, added sugars. I mean, I spend more time in the grocery store now looking at labels than I ever did, just because I want to, you know, avoid saturated fats and all the other ingredients that will affect our health and how you fight infection and overall just repair.
Yeah, it's a challenge because, you know, these drugs, as you said, with the right purpose and right consultation, they can be very helpful. But at the same time, you do have to pay attention to how that's going to impact, you know, other aspects of your health and making sure that you're making an informed decision there. Well, we always have an action step each episode. What do we need to know when it comes to these types of medications?
Well, first of all, if somebody offers you this but say, hey, I got something for weight loss, make sure you let your primary care doctor know it, and also reveal very accurately your medical history to any health care provider, particularly your dentist, because they're doing things to you that could affect your sugar level. And if you're already doing something that's going to make it go into the, you know, into the muscle and then you really plummet, you can go south pretty fast with a low sugar. Hypoglycemia, you faint real quick. Hyperglycemia takes a while.
You know, filling out those forms, as you alluded to before, can feel a little bit daunting, but it's so critical that we make sure that we take the right amount of time and have as accurate of information as we can on those to help our medical professionals treat us in the best way possible. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of The Gum Guru. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you'll do it again next time.
If you would like to know more about ways to make sure your smile is healthy or more information on any of the treatments in today's discussion, check out their website at NorthRaleighPerio.com. If you have other questions you'd like to have answered on the Gum Guru podcast, send them to contact at NorthRaleighPerio.com.